You see, the Bible does tell us in this world you shall have tribulation. Even though you might be a solid Christian, you're not falling into temptation. You don't have to pay the consequence of temptation. But those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So there are a lot of elements in the world that want to come at us, and we have to deal with those things. And now David is dealing with many things in his life. On the heels of one trial with Absalom, here comes another from Shebna. They return back to David, but now they're fleeing again.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in 2 Samuel chapters 20 and 21.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
The rebellion of Absalom has been put down. Remember, Absalom is David's son. He was basically next in line for kingship because he would be the elder son. And yet he couldn't wait. Obviously, he wouldn't be king anyway because God had given that to Solomon, or Jedidiah as God had called him, the other name that God had given Bathsheba. But he couldn't wait. He created a rebellion, a coup against his father's kingdom. It was put down. And now the people that followed him, they were divided. But after he died, now the people came back to him. The commander of Absalom's army, Amasa, he actually came back to David, and he was really instrumental in bringing the people back. So there was now a coming together, and it seems as though, even though the people were now united, there was strife. Because Judah was saying, he's a close relative to us, so we are closer to David than you are. And then the others who came back would say, yeah, but there's 10 parts for us, and so we've got more parts for David than you. And so although they were united, it was a very fragile situation there. Not only fragile, but there was a lot of strife. And so what we find is there's another evil that arises. This guy by the name of Shebna. And we find in verse 1 of chapter 20, now a worthless fellow happened to be there whose name was Shebna, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite, and he blew the trumpet and said, we have no portion in David, nor do we have an inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tent, O Israel. So all the men of Israel withdrew from following David and followed Shebna and the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah remained steadfast to their king from the Jordan even to Jerusalem. Then David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, the concubines of whom he had left to keep the house, and placed them under guard and provided them with sustenance, but did not go into them. So they were shut up until the day of their death, living as widows. So, first of all, you have the situation with Shebna. Now, notice how he took advantage of the situation here. And we find that even though they chose David for a time, it didn't take much for this wicked man to stir up strife again and draw the people away from David. Now, remember what the Lord said to David after the sin with Bathsheba, the adultery, and the killing of Uriah, having him killed. Remember what Nathan the prophet said, a sword shall not depart from your house from this point on. That's exactly what's happening as we see this here. You know, we can choose our sin. You can choose whatever sin you want. But you see, you can't choose its consequence. I suspect that David, as he looked back on his life, he had great remorse over the decisions he made for sin. And you find that I think that's the case with every person. You know, when some never recover from the consequence of their sin, they just keep going down and down and down, and it's really a heavy slide downward. But David is experiencing this, and we have to give it to David, even in spite of this, he still follows the Lord. You see, the Bible does tell us, in this world you shall have tribulation. So even though you might be a solid Christian, you're not falling into temptation, you don't have to pay the consequence of temptation, but those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So there are a lot of elements out there in the world that want to come at us, and we have to deal with those things. And now David is dealing with many things in his life. On the heels of one trial with Absalom, here comes another from Shebna, and he's a very unstable sort. And the people, they left David for Absalom, and now they return back to David, but now they're fleeing again to this man, Shebna. People can be so fickle. You know, when we trust in man, and we find that we can be very disappointed. I realize that even those that I look up to, I get real discouraged at some things. Not that they've fallen into sin, but sometimes people aren't the way you want them to be to suit you. And if you have your eyes on them, and if you're lifting them up on a pedestal, and you realize they're just like you, you know, they're feet of clay, they fall, they disappoint, just like you do. But when you put somebody up on a pedestal and you think, I'm going to follow them, I want to be just like them, well, you're going to find that that person will fail you. And so what we do find here, if David trusted in man, so fickle, here they leave for this fellow Shebna? Who is this guy? I mean, David is anointed king of Israel. Yeah, he's flawed, but so are the people. And now they flee and they go with this man. Now, he's of the tribe of Benjamin, which also Saul, the king of Israel, was, which Shimei was. And so you find there's a lot of angst, there's a lot of antagonism with the Benjamites and with David. But Benjamin, remember when Jacob, the youngest of Jacob's son, Benjamin, the son of my right hand. I mean, he really favored Benjamin. I mean, he favored, he was the youngest, and so he had great favor. And even Joseph, I mean, he made that coat of many colors. But Benjamin, son of my right hand. But you see, you can find bad men or carnal men come from good heritage. And that's what Shebna, he's a bad guy. He comes from good heritage, the Benjamites. And the carnal mind is always at opposition with the spiritual. And so that's what we find here. And so he takes advantage. He takes advantage of the strife and the controversy that is taking place here in the kingdom. When David just gets those that went with Absalom back, this fella, he creates controversy and he creates another division. You see, the Bible says the beginning of strife is like letting out a little water. When you think about it, if you breach a dam, if I always think of Waimea Bay and the stream, Waimea Stream, when it rains a lot, it'll kind of clog up and it'll create kind of a little pond or kind of a river there on the beach. And then when they cut through the beach to the ocean, that begins to flow. And after a while, it becomes a raging river. And that's what he's saying. It's just a little bit of strife. You just do it, and then it becomes raging. And so the Bible says, abandon then the quarrel before it starts. And I think what happens is people hear certain things, and I think Shebna was like that. He hears certain things that he doesn't like or he likes, and then he runs to extreme with that. Yeah, Benjamin, we're not really for David. Let's go. Let's leave. And you find that that's exactly what he does, and people follow him. And I think it's very foolish. It's very foolish to hear only what you want to hear and then run to an extreme with that. I find that our world, and I find that our government, I find that our media, they're doing that to an extreme. Here you have a good person, a good, solid family person that believes in conservative issues. They say they're going to run for president. What do? You find people run to the extreme. They try to be very extreme, and then you get the followers. Things haven't changed much, have they? And even people of their own persuasion or own party, even conservatives, start, jumping on the bandwagon and, running to the extreme. But didn't they do that with Jesus? They're crying, Hosanna, save now. And within the week, they're crying, crucify him. Because man is so fickle. He's so fickle. We don't want to be jaundiced about that. We just realize that man needs to be saved. They need to come out of their carnality, out of their sinfulness. And I think if anything, when we see things get darker and darker, it's a wake-up call for us to be bolder and bolder to preach the gospel. Because I think there's a lot of people out there that the Lord's hand is upon, and they're just waiting to hear the good news instead of the bad news, instead of the slander, instead of running here and there, and everything, everything is negative. They want to hear something positive, and that's what we have, the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, that's what we're seeing here anyway, the fickleness of man running after Shebna. But also you see in verse 3, where you find that here the concubines, the women, the 10 women, that David left to basically, he left there to guard or to oversee what was left behind, as they were the concubines, and they were simply there, and who knows if David was going to come back, in hope he was coming back, but then Absalom went in and defiled them, slept with them, basically raped them, would be what he did. And so here now David comes back. What do you do with them? Those women probably felt like they went from a place of palace life to basically the pigsty, in a sense. I mean, that's what it would be compared to. Because they were shut away for all their life, they were banished to obscurity. They were like widows. David never had any relationship with them again because they were defiled by his son, Absalom. And so that would be unclean for a king now to take them back into his harem. I mean, David shouldn't even have a harem. God said, don't multiply wives to yourself, but David didn't heed that. And so these women would be confined to obscurity, lest if they were citizens and they were let out into the public, walking through the streets, going to the marketplace, all the people would whisper, they would look, they would point, they would stare, they would talk. Oh, there's the one that Absalom had relations with and was married to David. And so it would create gossip. So they were shut away. And that's a sad situation, especially for these women. Well, I would think maybe for David too, because maybe David, as he took them to himself, he wasn't supposed to, but he did. Maybe he had a great love for these women, or at least some of these women. But now he has no contact with them whatsoever, because they're basically buried in obscurity. They're away from the sight of the public. Well, it goes on in verse 4, then the king said to Amasa, call out the men of Judah for me within 3 days, and he be present here yourself. So Shebna took his contingency. He went off. David knows he's got to put that rebellion down right away. So Amasa, who was formerly the captain or commander of Absalom's army, who's now come over to David's side, he knows that he can kind of rally the troops with Amasa. And so get him within 3 days. And so Amasa, verse 5, he went to call out the men of Judah, but he delayed longer than the set time which he had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, "Now Sheba, the son of Bichri, will do us more harm than Absalom. Take your lord's servants and pursue him, lest he find for himself fortified cities and escape from our sight." So Joab's men went out after him, along with the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the mighty men, and they went out from Jerusalem to pursue Shebna, the son of Bichri. So these were basically David's bodyguards. Some of these were actually Gentiles. They were from Gath, and they were kind of the standing army there. Take them, Joab's men, and you go. Because, you know, time is of the essence. You know, we can't let time go where he's going to get his army together. He's going to be hiding out. So, Amasa, who knows what happened to Amasa? He didn't, you know, gather the troops, so you go out. And when they were at the large stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa came to meet them. Now, Joab was dressed in his military attire, and over it was a belt with a sword in its sheath fastened at his waist, and as he went forward, it fell out. Now, realize this, Joab was formerly the commander of David's army. But remember, he killed Absalom, David's son, and David said, "Treat him kind," but he killed him. And then remember Abner? Abner was Saul's commander, and Abner, there was somewhat of a rebellion when Saul died, but then Abner came over to David's side, and he rallied the rest of Saul's people over to David's side, but then Joab killed him in stealth. He brought him into the gate of the city, and it was Zoe was going to speak to him, and then he killed him. And so I think at this point, David, he's not trusting Absalom, and there's something about Absalom that he doesn't, you know, and so he basically puts, Joab. There's something about Joab that David can't go along with, so he puts his brother Abishai as commander. And Joab follows after Abishai, but I think in Abner's mind, in Joab's mind, he's thinking, the next time I see Amasa, I'm taking him out. And so he's with his brother Abishai, and then they go, and here, Amasa now shows up. And Joab said to Amasa, "Is it well with you, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him, and Amasa was not on guard against the sword which was in Joab's hand, so he struck him in the belly with it and poured out his inward parts on the ground and did not strike him again, and he died. Then Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued Shebna, the son of Bichri. So he took him by the beard, and that was a sign, and that's what you would do as a sign of friendship. You'd take the person by the beard and kiss them. But that wasn't what Joab was doing. It was a ploy to get him close. With the other hand, his sword fell out. He took the sword and rammed him through. He didn't just ram him through. He gutted him, basically. His inward parts came out. He ran him through, and then he, you know, pulled open his belly. And, his gut spilled out, basically. Really, an evil thing to do. Amasa was David's nephew and Joab's first cousin. It's like they're all related at this point in certain areas there. His first cousin. Now, what is taking place here when he was sent off on this assignment for David? Joab took offense at that. He wasn't able to rally the troops. Maybe it was too big of a job for him, or maybe he just was too casual about it. We don't know. Maybe it was a daunting task, or he's just too casual in his loyalty to David. We don't exactly know what it was, but we find here that Joab, he pretends friendship with him. And in doing so, he runs him through and kills him. And that's why David said he shed the blood of war in time of peace. In other words, he pretended friendship and then he killed him. He murdered him. He shed the blood in war in time of peace. He wasn't his enemy. He wasn't at war, but he very cowardly killed Amasa. And at that point, David is, you know, he doesn't know what to do about Joab. Joab now takes that position of commander again. You know, it's just amazing what he does. And now notice in verse 11, now there stood by him one of Joab's young men. So he left one of the young men and he went off to get Shebna with his brother Abishai and said, whoever favors Joab, whoever is for David, let him follow Joab. In other words, Joab is on the king David's business, and if you're for the king and you're for Joab, follow him. And yet they're seeing here Amasa, the one that they were following in the road, his gut spilled out. It had to be a radical scene for them. And yet this young man is there, but Amasa lay wallowing in his blood, verse 12, in the middle of the highway. And when the man saw that all the people stood still, he removed Amasa from the highway into the field and threw a garment over him when he saw that everyone who came by him stood still. As soon as he was removed from the highway, all the men passed on after Joab to pursue Shebna, the son of Bichri. So once he took him off the highway, covered him with a blanket, then those that were kind of without a leader, somehow Joab, he was a very powerful leader. David tried to take him out of that leadership, but somehow the people either extremely feared Joab or really revered Joab. Because then they followed. They stopped following Amasa. He's dead. He's in the road. This young man covered him up and said, hey, Joab's on David's business. He's his commander. You're going to follow him. And the people did. They followed. Kind of fickle people.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of 2 Samuel, chapters 20 and 21. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
Gather me, we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in 2 Samuel chapters 20 and 21. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.